From the Financial Times in New York, I'm Amy Keene, and this is FT News. The U.S. economy added 242,000 jobs in February. That's significantly higher than economists' expectations, and the unemployment rate held at 4.9%. But in spite of these strong headlines, there's still a segment of the American public that doesn't seem to be feeling the benefits of this economic recovery. It's an economic anger that's playing a major role in the Democratic and Republican primaries. Sean Donnan, the FT's World Trade Editor, he joins me on Skype from our Washington Bureau, and we're going to discuss this segment of the U.S. workforce that's really been left behind by the recovery. Sean,
hi,
thanks
Amy.
For joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just start with this issue of underemployment. So this is a calculation that you mentioned in a piece that you wrote for the FT yesterday. This is a calculation that we don't normally see in the headlines, and that includes workers who are not actively looking for work but would like to be working, and those working part-time. Can you just talk about how these figures paint a bit of a different picture than those headline figures?
Yeah, so I mean, the headline story of the U.S. jobs market is that it's actually been pretty healthy over the last couple of years. It's been adding jobs at sort of 200, 220,000 jobs on average in the last 3 months, and that all looks pretty good. But the U.S., you know, does use this kind of fairly narrow measure of unemployment. You need to have been looking actively for a job in the previous 4 weeks in order to count as unemployed in the U.S. If you have been discouraged, if you are really having a hard time of it, you don't always show up in those jobless numbers. And that's where you have this broader measure, what they call the U6 measure of unemployment, which is meant to take in really all of those people who are out there who are unemployed but aren't showing up in the numbers. And these are really the most marginal participants, or the people who are hit hardest in some ways in the U.S. economy. And that's quite important in the context of today. And that U6 measure has been staying much higher than the headline number. It's been up around 10% and has been there for some time. That, I think, explains a lot of what we're seeing in the campaign now.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then I think the second thing to that is wages, this issue of really stagnated wages for the last couple of decades. And in February, we saw the very slight drop of 0.1% in wage growth. I think economists predicted something like 0.2% increase. So this is a marginal difference. But can we infer anything from that slight drop last month?
Look, it's always hard in kind of monthly data to infer too much. We need to be careful. This could be we had a very strong number in January where it was a 0.5% increase in wages, and that meant that wages over the previous year had gone by 2.5%. That has now slipped in February to 2.2% over the past year. It's still better than it was, but the problem is it's just not good enough for most Americans, and it's just not good enough in the context of the damage that you saw after the 2008 recession. Right now, median incomes in the U.S. are roughly equivalent to what they were in the mid-1990s.
Right.
They rose going up to the financial crisis. They took a huge hit in the financial crisis, and we're back to where we were in the mid-1990s. It's like the financial crisis wiped out 20 years of income gains. And you really – that's – the frustration that you see in the American middle class. And that's the frustration that you see playing out in politics.
The other issue we have at play is this idea of long-term unemployment. The recovery of long-term unemployment is stalling. So I think that's people who've been unemployed for 27 weeks or more. There was a steady drop in that from its peak during the recession down to about, I believe it's about 2 million in the last year. But we haven't really seen much of a drop since then.
And in fact, in February, the number of long-term unemployed actually rose by roughly 76,000 people. And that is in the wrong direction, obviously. There's a million more people who are now long-term unemployed in America, and that is people who have been out of jobs for 6 months or more than there were before the crisis. And those million people, that gap is something that we really need to watch carefully. I mean, that if you think about it, these are really some of the hardest cases. Along with the marginally attached and those other broader measures that we talked about, some of the harder cases that you need to address if you really want to get the economy back up and running and healthy.
So the last thing, Sean, that I would want to talk to you about is how this is playing out, or how some of the candidates running for the White House, how they're sort of using some of this underlying data to their advantage. You've got on one side Donald Trump, the Republican frontrunner. He's got an economic policy that, you know, it largely hangs, like you said, on cutting taxes and protectionist promises when it comes to trade and tariffs. And then you've got on the other side, you know, Bernie Sanders, who's also appealing to this group of underemployed, and Hillary Clinton as well. What do you make of this?
So look, I mean, we're going to see Hillary Clinton talking about jobs and the need to get the manufacturing sector going again later today in Detroit. This is absolutely the economic theme of this year, and that's sort of anger in a real important or significant part of the population over the direction of the economy. You really need to only look at the different fortunes of different people in terms of their education level. If you did not complete high school in January, your unemployment rate was 8.6%.
Right.
If you graduated from college, if you graduated from university, it was 2.6%. That's a third of the level. And that's just a real tale of two economies here. We really are in a place in the U.S. economy today where skills matter and education matters. If you go to college, if you join the workforce after that, you are likely to have a very different life than if you don't. And that has left a significant portion of the U.S. labor force behind. And it's that, and that is, you know, we're talking about, in many cases, older white men who have been who grew up in manufacturing jobs and those manufacturing jobs then headed off to China and Mexico in the last 20 years and they were kind of had the seat pulled out from behind them, and they're just kind of left and baffled with the U.S. economy that they see before them. And someone like Donald Trump or someone like Bernie Sanders can really appeal to that.
Well, Sean, I really appreciate your time today. And you can read the full piece, Sean's full piece on economic anger in the U.S. and more on the February jobs report at FT.com. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.